The teachings of General Conference are the considerations the Lord would have before us now and in the months ahead.
Our marching orders for each 6 months are found in the General Conference addresses.
For the next 6 months, your conference edition of the Ensign should stand next to your standard works and be referred to frequently.
I encourage you to read the talks once again and to ponder the messages contained therein.
I exhort you to study the messages of this conference frequently, even repeatedly, during the next 6 months.
You're listening to the Conference Talk Podcast, where it's conference weekend every weekend. Every weekend, we discuss talks from the most recent General Conference of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
That's right. We'll share some insights, make some connections, and have a bit of fun as we study the words of the awesome men and women that God has called to direct His church in the latter days. I'm Jacob Crapo.
And I'm Richard Bernard. And this episode, we're going to be talking about Be Still and Know That I Am God by Elder Bednar. But I'm sure all of you by now are going, who is Richard Bernard? Well, I am currently serving a mission out of the Priesthood Family Department. I give devotionals to wards and stakes and to relief societies and priesthoods and anybody else that wants to listen to me. And the devotionals are about studying the scriptures daily, receiving daily revelation, and how to use the gospel library to enhance scripture study. I'm one of a group of people who are expert on the gospel library. So I am retired and married, and all my children are grown up and spread throughout various areas, and I live here in Utah. So that's it about me. So let's get started about Elder Bednar's talk. Jacob, what have you got to get started with his talk? What did you like about it?
Ooh, too much. This is a great talk, but let me go back real quick and introduce myself because it's my first time on here too. So I said my name is Jacob Crapo. I'm a nobody. I'm a Sunday school teacher down in Las Vegas. But in my free time, I volunteer with FAIR, Latter-day Saints, and I do a temple prep podcast for them. I've had a lot of fun doing it. I love talking about the temple, about the doctrine of the church, and just helping the young people in the church, whether it's, you know, the youth or recent converts, to strengthen their testimonies and prepare to make sacred covenants with God.
Well, that's a wonderful goal. And you said that you work with FAIR. What do you do with them?
I mostly do the podcast for them, the Temple Prep podcast, but I also answer some questions when I feel like I have something to add.
Okay. And what do you do to put shoes on your feet?
Oh, I'm a safety professional, travel all across the country, helping maintenance people stay safe.
Oh, okay. Well, that's another worthy goal, to keep people healthy and safe. Well, getting back to Bednar here, what was your first take on it?
So I love the name of this talk, right? Peace be still and know that I am God. It's a phenomenal scripture. And it really encapsulates the two main messages of Elder Bednar's talk here. The importance of taking time to be still, finding places to be still, and knowing that Christ is God, that God is God. Those two things together, it encompasses his whole remarks. But it's interesting to see how he weaves those two principles together.
Yes, first of all, I don't know, are we allowed to have favorite apostles? I don't know if we are. But anyway, I really, whenever Elder Bednar starts speaking, he just speaks to my heart. And I'm not saying the others don't, but he just seems to get into my heart more than the others. And, actually, I've got a few others that I really like too. But I really, really like what he's did here, because that quote of be still and know that I am God is one of my favorites. And sometimes I just have to tell myself when I'm anxious about something, or we're in the process of building a home up in North Ogden and things can get kind of hectic. Sometimes I just have to say, just be still and know that he's God. And this is all in his hands and everything is going to work out just wonderful. What I like also is that He says, I pray the Holy Ghost will enlighten each of us as we consider a higher and holier dimension of stillness in our lives. And that's what really began to get my attention.
Yeah, and I think that leads right into what he talks about first with the celestial room. This is his experience leading a tour at one of the recent temple open houses. How one of the reporters or whoever it was involved in that tour made a comment that that kind of peace that they felt on that tour in the celestial room is something they've never experienced before. This is a higher kind of peace. It's not something that the world gives. This is something that only Christ can give.
Yes. In fact, I was thinking of that. I just came from the Draper Temple prior to us making this recording. And I was sitting there in the celestial room. And I really thought about this talk and about that visitor. And just, I guess I've taken it for granted. Been in the church for a long time and attend the temple quite often. And I began to think maybe I'm just taking it for granted how still and quiet the celestial room is. And even if there's a busy session or there's maybe somebody being sealed for the first time and there's a lot of family members, everyone does their best to just keep it still. And it's a piece that, as this guest that Elder Bednar was with realized, and I realized that, well, perhaps I'm there, and I've never really realized how peaceful it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think we are a little spoiled having temples close by and being able to attend often. We might forget a little bit about how special that first time was.
Yes.
When I went through to receive my endowment a few years ago, I had never been to a celestial room before. Well, I guess I had been to an open house when I was a little kid. But man, that was something else. Just being able to be there in that place that represents heaven. That was incredible.
Yeah, I wish I remembered my first time. I'm a few decades older than you are. And as you get older, your memory starts fading. But I wish I could remember that first time. One thing that struck me in this talk, among many things, but one thing, I had never caught this one part of the scripture that he quotes from. He's quoting from Helaman that says, remember, remember, that it is upon the rock of our Redeemer, who is Christ, the Son of God, that ye must build your foundation. I don't know how many times I've read that, and I never caught the word your. And then in the talk, he goes on to say that we have to build a foundation upon that rock of Jesus Christ. And we need to latch into it with rods that go on down into the actual rock itself to hold us secure. But I was very impressed with that. In fact, in my underlining here, I've got that highlighted in yellow, that the word your. I just never seen that before.
That I absolutely love the scripture. I don't know if we're allowed to have favorite scriptures. This is my favorite scripture right here. So I mentioned that I'm a safety professional. Before I got this job as a safety professional, I was an electrician. Now, electricians, they don't pour concrete very often, but we do have to pour our own light pole foundations. And so this image of a foundation that connects us to Christ. But other scriptures, I know Elder Bednar mentions that in this scripture, Christ is not the foundation. He's the ground underneath. But in other scriptures, it does mention that Christ is the foundation. It's a symbol that I absolutely love. And yeah, when we make the light pole foundations, we put four bolts into the concrete before it sets so that we have something to attach the light pole to. And Elder Bednar talks about how these connecting anchors, these bolts or steel rods, represent the sacred covenants that we make. They bind us to Jesus Christ. As I volunteer with FAIR, I'm kind of aware of some of the criticisms and comments that people have made. And this passage or this paragraph in Elder Bednar's talk, for some reason, just gets crazily misunderstood. I've noticed it in a few different corners of the internet. He's not saying that Jesus Christ isn't the foundation of our lives. He's not the foundation of the church. He's underneath the foundation. We're the ones that build something that connects it, us to him, right? He's the bedrock if he's not the foundation.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned before, we're building a home up in North Ogden, and it's right up against the mountain. And my son, who's the architect, was very concerned about it not sliding down the hill. He was kind of going crazy with that. Somehow, when he builds a house, he wants it to stay. I thought, well, okay, that's a new concept. And so anyway, we really talked about we might be having to take pillars or poles that basically screw down 30 or 40 feet until you actually hit rock, and then go down a little bit further. And then from that, I would pour my foundation. After testing the soil and everything, we found that we wouldn't have to do that. But that's absolutely true. And I want to encourage people to always look at the related content in the Gospel Library, because there's always pearls there. And I'm looking at it now in the related content, number 10, and it talks about Ephesians 2:19, and indicates that the household of God, the Church of Jesus Christ, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets and Jesus Christ. And then that explains that. And then he explains in contrast the one from Helaman 5:12, that he's our rock. And so it really kind of clears up what you were just saying. And it's right here in the related content. And I always encourage people to, if I'm teaching a class like Gospel Doctrine or something, let's go to the related content. Let's see what notes are there, because there are some great jewels there.
Yeah, thanks for pointing that out. Later on in the verse that he quotes from, it talks about why we need a sure foundation, why we need that foundation in yes. Jesus Christ. And it's because of all of the storms and the tempests and everything that Satan throws at us. You know, we might not be building on a hill, but we're definitely building on some treacherous land with everything that's going on around us. There's so many different challenges, so many things that can cause us to quake and to tremble and to fear. But being built upon that sure foundation that is Jesus Christ, we don't have to worry about any of that. We know what happens. We know who wins. We know whose side we're on.
Yes, absolutely. I love where he gets into, let's see, the title is called Sacred Times, Holy Places in the Home, and talking about the home. And he mentions that, I'm going to read this paragraph here because I think it's very important. The principal purpose of sacred time and holy places are exactly the same: to repeatedly focus our attention upon Heavenly Father and His plan, the Lord Jesus Christ and His atonement, the edifying power of the Holy Ghost, and the promises associated with the sacred ordinances and covenants of the Savior's restored gospel. And he then goes into the next paragraph talking about having sacred time in holy places within our home. I remember one conference talk, I can't remember who gave it, but he said that Sunday does not end after the two-hour block. And I learned a long time ago to really have great reverence for the Sabbath day. And I lived in Israel for 4 years, and the Sabbath was very special with us there. And I just carried it over. And too often, church is over, and I know I used to do it. Come home from church, and I would take off my tie and shirt and suit or whatever, and I would get on some comfortable, maybe a sweatsuit or something, and just relax. Until I heard a talk, it was from a conference talk by L. Tom Perry. And I think it really ties into this, what Elder Bednar was saying. I believe he also desires us to dress appropriately. Our youth may think the old saying, Sunday best, is outdated, Still, we know that when Sunday dress deteriorates to everyday attire, attitudes and actions follow. Of course, it may not be necessary for our children to wear formal Sunday attire until the sun goes down. However, by the clothing we encourage them to wear and activities we plan, we help them to prepare for the sacrament and enjoy the blessings throughout the day. And then he goes on in that talk about this is not the time for popular entertainment and things like that. And I think Elder Bednar really hits home with this about the sacred time in this holy place, that when we come home, we're to bring what we've learned in church and our deepened testimony of Jesus Christ into the home, and then have activities there for that. Now, Jacob, since I don't know you very well, are you married?
I am married.
And do you have children?
I have one 8-month-year-old son.
Oh my goodness, 8 months. Well, when he starts walking around 2 or 3, it's kind of hard to have peace on a Sunday morning.
Not as the world would give it.
Yes. Well, that's wonderful. 8 months. Wonderful. So,
yeah, as you're talking about that, when Elder Bednar said that it's important to not just go to church, not just go to the temple, but have that sacred time at our home, that's what I was thinking of is, you know, me and my wife were both returned missionaries. We love the gospel. Before we had our son, you know, it was the most important thing was my marriage, and the second most important thing for us was our callings. And so we were able to pour our whole lives into that. And now that we have a son, I want to make sure that he has the opportunity to learn the gospel and to learn these principles. And I have been thinking a lot about what we're going to do to have that sacred time at home. It's really easy for me and my wife, but bring a third guy into that, it's going to change things up a little bit.
Yes, and then you bring in a second child, and it doesn't just double, it quadruples.
Yeah. And exponential.
Yes, it's exponential. And then after about the fourth or fifth, it doesn't matter. But there's really a difference between one child in the home and two children in the home. That's a worthwhile goal that you've got, is to decide now, how can we keep the Sabbath day holy and still have young children that are rambunctious and everything, but still help them understand that this is, it's Sunday. Yeah. So, and there's all sorts of special activities you can plan, you know, along that line. And as he gets older, obviously. Ending here, at least for what I have to share, is what I got from this talk. He says, we may be troubled on every side, but we will not be distressed in our minds and our hearts. We may be perplexed by our circumstances and challenges, but we will not be in despair. And when we build upon that foundation of Christ, and when we take the time, as Elder Bednar has said in other talks, to have prayer, to study the scriptures, not just read them, study them and ponder them, then, and just be still, it's a wonderful thing. And my wife and I served a mission at the MTC where we taught missionaries how to study the scriptures. These were missionaries, we taught them one-on-one, but these were missionaries who maybe weren't in the church very long, maybe they never had seminary because of where they lived. Some had ADHD and some were dyslexic, and so we would work with them one-on-one. And wonderful experiences there, where we're at the MTC, where the spirit is already very strong, and then I'm meeting one-on-one with an elder or a sister, and we're studying the scriptures together, and we take the time to just be still and listen, and then write down what we have. A story that one came from the MTC, an elder, and we studied the scriptures about 40 minutes, and then I asked him, I said, can you just be still? Read it again to yourself and just be still. And share with me what you're feeling. And he did that, and each time he would come back, not tell me what he's feeling, but what the scripture is about. And finally, after about four or five tries, he just said, "What do you want from me?" I said, "I don't know, but we'll know when it's here." And so he tried it again, and then the room changed. Even though we were in the MTC, the Spirit filled the room, and I knew that he had an answer. And he wouldn't say anything. And I waited, I don't know how long. And finally, I thought, well, what's going on here? And then the Spirit spoke to me and said, he doesn't think he should be at the MTC. And so I waited a little bit longer, and I finally said, "Elder, you don't think you should be here." And he began sobbing. After he had got composure, I asked him, "What is it that the Lord revealed to you?" And he said, "I'm at the right place at the right time." And that came from just studying the scriptures and listening to the Spirit. It's powerful. And I love how Elder Bednar talks about this, that we don't need to be in despair, regardless of what our circumstances are. And I've known couples that have lost children at an early age, and women that have lost their husbands, and husbands have lost their wives, and people who their business has gone belly up and bankrupt, and they're almost penniless. And yet through all of this, we don't need to despair, because Jesus Christ is that rock.
Absolutely.
Do you have any closing comments?
Oh, I could talk about this all day.
Okay, well, let's do it.
This is a fantastic talk, one of my favorites from this last conference. I mentioned at the very beginning that I love how Elder Bednar is able to, he uses that scripture, "Be still and know that I am God." But really, those, to me, those are two different things, right?
Yes.
Be still and know that I'm God.
Yes.
So I did a semester at BYU Idaho, and while I was there, I took a world religions class, and we learned about meditation, Buddhist meditation. And I'm not an expert on Buddhism or anything, but I loved that class when we talked about meditation. One of my main takeaways was that when you meditate, one of the tips that they gave us is to just focus on one thing, like focus on the air as you breathe out and what it feels like on the edge of your nose, right? Just focus on that one thing as you meditate and think about it, you know, focus on it as long as you can. And you'll notice that your mind drifts off to thinking about something else. You maybe hear a car alarm in the background or something. And as soon as you notice that, you bring your focus right back to where it's supposed to be. And then you think about that and focus on that. And when you notice it drift off again, you bring it right back. This is, to me, this is what it means to be still, right? To have that time of meditation, whether it's in the temple or on the Sabbath, just take that time and be still. And what you're focusing on is God, on Jesus Christ. And you'll notice that your mind starts to drift off thinking about, you know, the lesson that you have to plan for Sunday school while you're sitting in sacrament meeting or something else, but you just bring your focus right back on where it's supposed to be, on Jesus Christ. That's something that I think Elder Bednar is trying to urge us to do while we're at church, while we're at the temple, throughout the Sabbath on the Lord's Day. But really, we covenant to keep that in mind, keep Jesus Christ in our focus in the sacrament. We promise to always remember him. And I think this is where we can start practicing that. We can start learning how to focus on Jesus Christ when we take those times and places seriously. When we're sitting in the celestial room, focus on what matters most, on Jesus Christ. Focus on what we're there for. And if we notice that our mind drifts, bring it right back, right to where it's supposed to be focused. So that's my main takeaway from this talk.
Well, I think it's very important. And I, as you were talking there, I was thinking of Linda Cherry. Linda Cherry is an author of several books on the Old Testament, and she was on my podcast. And I often think of her because she was divorced, and her son was very rambunctious. In fact, if there was something dangerous, he would find a way to get into it. And in fact, a neighbor came by one, knocked on the door real quick, says, "Your son's getting ready to jump out of the second story window." And she grabbed him and she said, "What were you thinking?" He said, "Well, I wanted to jump down and just float down." Anyway, she always had to keep an eye on him, and he didn't sleep very long. So he would wake up at 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning, every morning. No matter what time she put him to bed, he just would sleep 4 or 5 hours. And this was for 10 years. And what impressed me about her is that she made sure that she had time with the Savior and to be still. So she got up at 5:30 in the morning, every morning, for 10 years, so that she could have that time to be still. And I was so impressed with that. That he finally, after about 10 years, he was able to sleep longer and she could trust him. He's not going to get into trouble. But during that 10 years, every single day, to make time, to just be still and know that he's God. And that's what we all have to strive to do on a daily basis. And I like what you've just said when we're in the celestial room or during sacrament meeting, that's where we need to focus. And where we can learn to do that is at home. But it's hard. I'm very aware of what it's like to raise a number of children. And I had 4, and my wife here had 5. And I had a family that I know quite well that had 12 children. And it's hard when you've got a number of children to find a quiet place in the house. Very difficult. But Linda Cherry decided to get up at 4:30 to do it. But most people might find that very difficult. So it's difficult to find that time. But I love Elder Bednar's talk that we just need to do that.
Thanks for listening to the Conference Talk podcast. This episode, we discussed Elder Bednar's address, "Be Still and Know That I Am God."
Now, if you've enjoyed this episode, give us a 5-star rating anywhere you get the podcast.
And check out our website, conferencetalk.org, where you can follow us on social media, drop a comment, check out the show notes, and learn more about us, your hosts.
If you want to follow me, you can find me on the Busy Latter-day Saint podcast and also a podcast for Cedar Fort, The Everyday Saint. And you can find me at my website, thebusylatterdaysaint.com.
And you can find me over at fairlatterdaysaints.org, where I host the Cornerstone, a Fair Temple Prep podcast.
But while we always appreciate new followers, it's better to follow the prophet than the apostles themselves.
Yep, we love speaking about the church and our leaders, but we do not speak for them. Everything said on this podcast represents our own personal opinions.
So, join us the next time in making every weekend Conference Weekend on the Conference Talk podcast.